Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
At GoDaddy.com, we believe you can do amazing things on the internet. Start with a domain name, then build yourself a website or have GoDaddy build one for you. From hosting an online shopping cart to SSL certificates, GoDaddy has the tools you need at prices to fit any budget. Get your .com for $5.49 when you use the code RAMBLE1 at checkout. GoDaddy.com. Domains, websites, and everything in between.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Hello to all those who are watching us through the website, the live stream up there in the camera. Hello,
hello
everybody.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. My name's Marcus, of course, and I'm joined by Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
Hello.
And Luke.
All right.
Now we're going to kick off proceedings with a question. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I'm sure most of you are aware, has launched an app containing his autobiography and some other goodies, the Zlap, as you're calling it, Jim. Now, if you could choose someone from the footballing arena to launch an app with all the trimmings, who would you choose and why? Jimmy?
Mine would be the Harry Redknapp app. Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Be like a kind of marketplace for footballers, basically. Yeah. So you could wheel and deal, sort of buy and sell, loan, that sort of thing. And, you know, you're not meant to do anything with other people's players on there, but you know, it goes on.
Would it be legally binding? If you made a bid, it's like eBay, you made a bid, you've committed to it.
Yeah, absolutely, it would, yes.
So you couldn't have, like, a sort of lower league manager bidding, like, 80 million for Bale and go, no, I was just checking it works.
No, he'd be right up the Swanee if he did that.
Would it have, like, car safety features as well? Like, you couldn't use it while a car was in motion because obviously you got in
the
trouble today.
Yeah. And the window down.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But did you see he got caught without a seatbelt on?
Was he doing an interview?
He was doing an interview out of a window, somebody took a picture of him, and then Devon Police.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Right.
Well, I, you know, I'm just the ideas man behind it, so you'd have to speak to the technical people.
Well, I was about to say, you're going to have an Ask the Chairman app as well.
Yeah, yeah. That would be a function on it. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Good start. Petey, what have you got?
I'd go for The Life and Times of Stephen Ireland. And it would just be, there'd be so many different levels in there. There'd be chasing dead grandmothers around heaven. There'd be
obviously
there'd be like the fishing bit where he's got to swim around his aquarium, like Echo the Dolphin. Just stuff like that, really.
Get his car in there, his weird pink Jeep.
Thierry Henry's gone in for one of those aquariums.
Yeah, it's like a four story aquarium.
$25,000.
Why is it in storage? It's got stairs in it for the fish to walk up.
Well, no,
No, it's four tanks that are going to be on top of each other.
Right. Apparently, he's going to knock down his house in North London and rebuild it. It's going to cost
as
half
an
a million.
Aquarium.
It's going to be underwater.
The aquarium's going to be $12,000 a year to maintain.
In the same article, though, it did state that Stephen Ireland was thinking about having sharks in his kitchen.
In his kitchen?
Yeah, underneath like a glass, like a glass floor.
Everywhere in his house will just be glass. That's why an aquarium, just all the walls, just.
That's why he started playing again because he needs the appearance bonuses. I've got off more than I can chew it. I'm living in an aquarium.
Okay, so we've got Stephen Ireland app. Luke,
I'm going to go for the Joey Barton app,
right?
And it will basically be like an all-encompassing sort of lifestyle app where you can learn about Joey's favourite film directors like Kurosawa and Luc Besson.
I quite like that.
Apparently,
I haven't finished yet. His favourite artist. Caravaggio, Titian, you know, his favourite composers, Schubert and Bach.
Yeah.
And then another section where you can just watch his punch-ups outside McDonald's.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have a Phil Brown app.
Yeah.
Which would be a karaoke app. As we all know, the man likes a bit of karaoke. Mm.
What was it, Beach Boys? Sleep John B loves a bit of them.
Is that what it was? And also, another part of it, it would have a map which would show you the best routes to go across America.
On a horseback. Yes. That was a motorbike.
It was a motorbike.
He'll probably do a horse next.
Yeah. Luke's got the points.
Yes, hat trick. Oh. Hat trick.
Sorry, boys. On the camera. Hat trick for the cameras there. On the Zlatan app article, there was a comment at the bottom, which I thought I'd read out. It says, Sweden only football star. How lucky you are not from Brazil with hundreds of football stars, little Swedish god. I don't know whether that's complimentary or not.
Sounds like a ramble comment.
Sounds like a Mumford and Sons song. Sleep little Brazilian god, was it? Swedish god,
yeah, yeah. Right, let's move on to the FA Cup, where there was a couple of draws for the big boys. Chelsea won, Birmingham City won. That's a good result for Birmingham City.
Which is a huge result, yeah, a huge result for Houghton as well. But Chelsea just look all at sea, don't they? Even in the sort of cup situation.
That's right. Defending for the goal was absolutely
like schoolboy stuff. I know people say that a lot, but it really, really was. It just went through them. It was just...
First half, they look a completely different team to any Chelsea team I can remember for the last few years. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the old Dalek voice to AVB, he needs to... he's one of the few managers who didn't sign Fernando Torres. He doesn't need to necessarily play him, so to speak. It's not his purchase. He can sort of go, I didn't buy him, so I don't necessarily have to use him.
He's gone through two transfer windows now, and he's not really bought anyone that suits his traditional style of play. I wrote a piece about it this week about how, you know, it's one thing to be sacking Vieira very early on, but it's another thing if you know you've got Mourinho waiting in the wings. He said that he may not be at Real Madrid beyond this summer and he wants to come back to England. He's not so, I mean, Cahill's a strange sign. I mean, we said it at the time. I still think it's strange.
I'm not sure it's that strange, is it? John Terry's getting a bit on.
Cahill's pretty much the same player, pace-wise.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he needs Vieira Boas, from what I saw of him at Porto, have very quick players.
Yeah.
Transitional players.
Oh, okay. So
and so he's not signed players that lend themselves to that. I mean, other than Mata and sort of Sturridge, who he pushes out wide, it's not an awful lot of pace for the team, is what I'm saying.
Well, Sturridge is a bit unhappy as well because he wants to play through the middle.
Mm. Yeah. But he's just going to have to get his head down and get on with it, isn't he? You know, he's at Chelsea.
He's a joint top scorer, though. He's playing well. You know,
of course.
He might be able to contribute more if he played through the middle. You know,
would you have him on the plane?
Oh, without a doubt. Mm,
yes.
Of course. Yeah,
you think.
Do you think that Vieira Boas would have been in real trouble if they had lost that game?
No, I think he's got to the end of the season.
Well, there's talk that, you know, I mean, I don't know where this talk comes from, but if they lose against Napoli, then that could be
a source.
But is it probably a source? Perhaps even a pal.
Yeah.
same one that's been revealing that Fernando Torres is facing the axe, which seems harsh to me. I mean, I don't know how that's going to improve anything if you hack a limb off. But
Abramovich going, I see what you're saying, but he costs 50 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not kill him.
Work with me here. Yeah, but I think Abramovich seems to be making noises that he is backing him for the long term. He's bought him for the long term. This is like, his third proper season as a manager, isn't it? Something like that. He's a very new manager, very young manager. He's made he's put a lot of faith in him. I mean, if Chelsea miss out on the Champions League, it's not the disaster for them that it is for a lot of clubs, you know. I mean, I'm sure they'll, you know, it'll be reiterated to him time and time again that you know, that's the least that you know, Abramovich expects. But
I think it's a funny thing, like, because if you look that he hired Vieira Boas and Abramovich's much publicised ambition is to win the Champions League, he had Ancelotti as a manager. Yeah, Carlo Ancelotti as a manager, who's won the Champions League, you know, several times as a player and manager.
Well, you look at that, don't you?
It's incredible as a decision. I know it's easy with hindsight, but I'm pretty sure people said it at the time.
Yeah, I think everyone was a bit sort of blindsided by that. It's just ridiculous.
But I think the point here, going back to the FA Cup, is it's a game Chelsea could really do without.
Absolutely.
You know, and the same for Spurs as well. I think that's more of an anomaly, though.
A credit to Stevenage Borough, they played well.
Yeah, very much. Do you think Sahar's goal, I think it was Sahar's score.
Yeah, it was Sahar, yeah.
It hit Parker on the way and it was given offside. To me, that's a goal.
Yeah, it was a deflection off of him, as much as anything, wasn't
it? He's interfering with play. He's on the goal line.
So if it didn't hit him, then it would have been a goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how... But if the ball's going in and he's not blocking anybody, how's that...
Yeah, but what if he'd headed it over the bar? They would have called offside then, wouldn't they?
I think because it deflected in off him, essentially...
I see what you're saying.
I think common sense says that should be a goal, I think. But so maybe there needs to be a sort of caveat to that rule for this specific situation.
Fortunately, it wasn't a great goal like that Cristiano Ronaldo one in the friendly against Spain. Do you remember? Which has been one of the best goals of the season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's absolutely...
He's devastated. Fuming. Yeah, yeah. I thought the right midfielder for Stevenage, Laurie Wilson, played really well. I looked him up today because I hadn't seen him play before. He's only been at like Colchester before that. Because Bale sort of drifted into the middle quite a lot. Did you see the game?
Yeah,
he drifted in the middle quite a lot. Wilson had quite a lot of time and space. I think they could have scored. They had a couple of chances.
I do like seeing a game like that involving one of the big teams, because the way Stevenage, you know, there was a lot of hoofs. and a lot of putting your foot through the ball, and you can begin to relate to a football match that you're watching on TV involving a big club.
I've certainly played on worse pitches.
Oh, wasn't it?
Better pitches.
Yeah, sorry.
It always comes to the fore when it's last 10 or 15 and they are just lumping it.
Yeah.
They're absolutely lumping it. And the Premier League team just keep coming and coming like Terminators.
Yeah.
They're so fit. They're so much
and some of the clearances don't get out of the 18 yard box. Oh, God.
Yes. Just if it's near the goal, we'll take that.
Yeah. Sunderland beat Arsenal 2-0.
I don't remember that.
Oh, Jim.
It's been a while since an Arsenal on goal. Because Shanley's been letting everyone down.
Yeah. Wow.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, of course, scored the second for Sunderland. But I thought there was a... straight after that goal, I thought... that epitomises Arsenal at the minute. He's a young lad, he's 18 or 19. He scored an own goal, his head was down. Not one Arsenal player came up to him, put his arm around him or grabbed him and went, "Oi, don't worry about that, come on."
It's a disjointed team, isn't it? There's no fight there. They weren't fighting for each other, they weren't fighting to win the game, they just weren't fighting. It was just... this basically, it's a team full of losers. You know, they should all be working in Games Workshop. Do you know what I mean? It's like
Van Persie.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, so few of them have actually won things.
The
they don't have
loves.
Experience.
Yeah.
No, of course I do. But like, look at it. They lose. They're a team that know how to lose. They've done it before. They can see it coming. They seem to be stuck in a rut and a rhythm of doing that. And it's I just think they need major changes to sort that out. And everyone can see it. Wenger must know it.
But the incredible thing is, I agree with a lot of those points. They're still in the fourth spot race.
I think that says more about Chelsea.
Race.
The fourth
the
spot race.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I think that flatters Arsenal. I really do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if Chelsea were sort of having a more normal season, we'd be, you know, we
banging
wouldn't be
trouble,
in fourth,
yeah.
would we? Yeah.
So. Yeah. Banging trouble. The most disappointing thing from Arsenal's point of view is that there's no fight in the team. They didn't look really much, an awful lot like scoring. They certainly didn't like scoring more than one if they were going to score at all.
Yeah.
And it was by no means a surprise when Sunderland got the second. Okay, it was fortunate. I mean, it was by no means the worst own goal of the weekend.
Yeah.
but it was always coming. And you look at, and someone was saying in the papers today that, you know, Wenger needs to change his policy of signing young players and bringing young players through. But I was thinking, well,
he has done that.
He has actually signed established players.
Yeah.
Not just recently, but in the past. I mean, Sander Schaven is at the top of his game.
Yeah.
He saw Riziki, he was really highly rated over in Germany.
The strange thing with both of those players, and also with Samir Nasri, as we've said before, they're all players that are central, traditionally, and that then get farmed out wide. Mm. Arshavin in particular really suffers from that, because he's not used to tracking back. He doesn't normally need to. You know, he's played in a position where he's kind of freed from that, because he has that sort of free role. So it's a very odd person to sort of give that responsibility to.
It's easy to forget that he's not a player, traditionally, who's out there on the left hugging the touchline with the cross.
Absolutely.
And that's what he's been resorted to. Yeah. 15-minute camera at the end of a game, hit, hug the touchline, whip across in.
But also,
that's not
his game. No.
That's not the player everyone saw and thought, yeah, he's great. You know, he's not that. That's not the player that built up such a good reputation.
But also, and going along with that, is talking about whipping crosses. Who are you going to cross it to?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, Van Persie sort of plays up there, but they're not they've not got the classic forward
to get
on the end.
There's not a target, man.
There isn't a target.
But is that not why they signed Schumacher originally and it's not really
he's
good in the air.
There's been a lot of cases where it hasn't quite worked. I mean, Eduardo was supposed to be that. I mean, he was very unlucky with his injury.
Yeah,
and
even
going back to like Francis Jeffers, you know, it was always this kind of fox in the box / target man thing Arsenal have gone after, and it's just not really worked.
What about the injuries as well? I mean, Cochrane pulled up after 5 minutes with the hamstring. You've got to have a word with the physio about that and the coaches.
Apparently the fitness centre is incredible, like proper state of the art, really, really good.
They seem to have all sorts of
problems. I know,
there's
got to be something wrong there. It's
we've got to say well done to Sunderland, though.
Of course. They deserve the win.
O'Neill's doing an absolutely superb job. And also, we should wish all the best to Niall Quinn as well, who's left Sunderland. I'm not obviously that au fait with the inner workings of Sunderland, but he seems to have done a pretty magnificent job, actually.
Yeah, of course he has.
I saw a petition this morning to name a stand after him and everything. So.
Is that right?
Sunderland were a yo-yo club for such a long time, it's easy to forget that. And they're in no danger of going down. I mean, although saying that earlier on this season, they could have done it. They're just out of it now.
But the investment's been there, hasn't it? You know, as well.
Of course, they've spent a lot of money, actually.
What else have we got? Liverpool 6, Brighton 1. Pete, own goals galore.
Lualoa's free kick though was something
beauty.
Else.
Beauty,
something else.
I predicted that one. Yeah. That was perhaps going to be the shock of the round. Brighton.
So though, I lumped on Brighton. They were 16-1.
Yeah.
So Liverpool fans can thank me personally.
That was nearly the scoreline.
If you'd said before the game, Brighton are going to score 4 goals.
That's true.
Yeah, they're going to have it.
It's not the worst bet one of us has done this weekend, but we'll get onto that later.
Moving on to that.
I've got a lot of love for the Loa family, I tell you.
The thing with it, it just seemed to be that for the own goals, seemed mainly to be the keeper's fault because he was in weird positions.
I tweeted during that game, what's happened to Ankergren, who used to play for Leeds, I think, and always seemed decent whenever I saw him. And a lot of Brighton fans said, he's even worse than this keeper. So, I mean, there must be a bit bereft of decent talent between the sticks.
Turns out, though, Suarez, pretty good footballer. Yeah. Who knew? Yeah.
Turns out. Andy Carroll had a good game as well.
Yeah. The left foot finish was ridiculous.
It was.
He got the most treatment I've ever seen a striker get. From El Ab, the fullback, who sort of drifted inside and was wrestling him with every single set piece.
He doesn't like it up him.
No. Fans seemed delighted when he scored. Which was nice to see. Obviously, you know, they're trying to back their man.
I wanted Luar to score the winner. And
not for the first time.
I was going to say, they're back work.
Kane Dalglish to go. He's hurt us today.
That'd have been too far, wouldn't it? We have to mention a brilliant win for Leicester City away to Norwich, who got a lovely winner. It was the Nuge. Yeah. David Nugent, lovely. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's Messi-esque, isn't it? I love it when Nugent scores, because whatever the really circumstances, good he just looks so happy. Yeah. Just properly delighted with it. It's
should never have been a penalty at Norwich. I don't know what was happening there. Yeah. It was a ridiculous decision. And that back heel as well, it came off the line. It was a bullet. Yeah, yeah. I've never seen something kick. But I don't like to say Nugent in 35. That's not nice.
What, number 35? Yeah, that's rubbish.
I'll say what I say every time we mention Nugent on this show. He's got the tools. He's got all the tools. He's got a good record against Norwich as
He's
well.
He's got the history.
Hulan's... I can't work like his rebound from the penalty. I can't work out whether it was like a moment of genius or whether he just very nearly completely just messed it up.
I think it was going out.
It's the latter.
It just managed to curl in.
It was also nice to see Everton versus Blackpool. Everton won 2-0. Lovely goal from Royston Drenthe to get things going there. Nice to see some familiar faces visiting Goodison Park. Ian Holloway, Kevin Phillips, Lamana Loa.
I'll tell you,
even Phillips missed a penalty, which was a shame.
Strakwadasi is class. He's so hard working. He runs himself into the ground.
Just all Everton players are like that, aren't they? They're really, really just.
I don't know what's expected of them. Yeah. That's why it wouldn't be a ridiculous shout to maybe move Wenger upstairs and get Moyes in at Arsenal. I think he'd do an excellent job there.
I think they'd rather Guardiola, but still.
Well, that's fair enough. Happens, is that realistic?
Yeah, it's really not realistic.
Well, I don't know.
People are ignoring the fact that Guardiola never signs a contract more than a year and he signs it rolling all the time. Just because he's not signed one for next season yet doesn't mean he won't.
Yeah, I know. Well, you've heard it here first. You know, that's all I'm going to say.
Moyes would not know what to do with money.
Oh, yeah. Come on. He'd be all right.
I tell you what, I did find it funny. I'm not sure whether Ian Holloway was having a dig or not at Moyes. But he said, you know, congratulations to Everton, blah, blah, blah. I hope they go on and win it, because it would be nice to see David Moyes win something.
Oh, that's all right.
That's all right.
No, that's a compliment.
Yeah, I know. Of course it was meant like that, but when you read it...
It'd be funny if he said it'd be nice to see David Moyes finally actually win something. Yeah.
It'd be good for him to get, like, an achievement in his life in some way.
In return for 10 years of the club.
Slaving.
But, who do you fancy for the cup, then? Jim, who would you think?
Well, it's a funny one. You think Chelsea will turn that around and win that game, and they'll be the favourites in there, but they're so unpredictable at the moment. I would love to see Everton win it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think, you know, I suppose Everton and Sunderland are the two you look at aside from Chelsea, but I think Everton might just be a bit more robust.
Spurs are the best team in it, I think.
Of course, I've forgotten Spurs are even in it. Actually, yeah, no, Spurs are probably the... Yeah, Spurs.
Shall I come back to you?
He's doing the Craig Brown. He's listening to
them. Motherwell.
It'll end up being Spurs stock in the final.
Yeah, oof.
You're at Spurs though.
No, I reckon so.
I think Spurs are the best team in it, but I wouldn't look too far past Liverpool. Actually,
I think Liverpool.
They've not lost at home this season. They're a good cup team. They were really good yesterday.
Well, they'll struggle at Wembley.
They can get a cup double.
Yeah, for all the sort of furore around them off the pitch, they haven't. In our opinion, they haven't always got it right. On the pitch yesterday, they got it bang on. They were really, really good. They just have a lot of credit.
Winning the Carling Cup as well would almost put a full stop on this, you know, because it's a big achievement. It's a really positive thing.
Yeah. Well, they'd ideally like the season to be remembered for them actually winning something. Absolutely. Rather than all this other stuff that's happened. Yeah.
Let's go to the Championship. Damn it all.
Do we have to?
Neil Warnock's back in football, ladies and gentlemen.
Coming in, Pete.
Leeds United manager until the end of next season. He's going to be teaming up with Ken Bates.
It's time for a Pete Donaldson confession.
I made my first sports bet this week.
Did you?
Ladies and gentlemen.
What did you bet on?
I bet on... When I heard that Lee Clark had left his post...
Yes.
I assumed he would be going to Leeds.
Right.
Because, obviously, Ken Bates coveted him on more than one occasion. And I thought, how much money would I be upset to lose?
Mm.
So I put £60...
Oh, you flash git.
..on Lee Clark to go to Leeds.
£60.
He did not go to Leeds.
No. He hasn't got anywhere.
I think he's got a Wolves, hasn't he? I've heard rumblings today.
Oh, yeah. Kirbishley's out of the race for the Wolves race, which is an entirely different thing.
You don't want to lose that.
As of tonight, he's not got anywhere. The salient points are that he's lost 60 quid. Let's not lose sight of that.
Is the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, Warnock to Leeds is a bit of a funny one.
It is a funny one.
Yeah. I said to you guys a week or two ago, I don't think Warnock will go to Leeds because
Ken Bates is there.
Well, no, but not only because when he was, I think he was Notts County manager, and Ken Bates tried to get him in at Chelsea. And I think this is a bit sketchy. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think Warnock might have stood him up or annoyed him in some way.
Stood him up
at a train station. Yeah.
Bates was there wearing a carnation.
Yeah,
and I think he might have stood him up and. So as a result of that, I thought there's no way that Bates would go back there.
Yeah.
But obviously he has.
Mm. Well, didn't he drop in at half time?
He did. Well, Leeds were, I think they were one down at half time to bottom of the table Doncaster. Mm. And Warnock dropped in on them, as you say, at half time, gave him a few little
points. Right, lads.
Just call me Colin Wank. And he obviously... you know, gave him a kick up the arse, and they went 2-0 down, but then they won 3-2 with an injury time winner from Luciano Becchio. So a brilliant win for Leeds. I like it. Warnock's at a big club.
Instant impact. I think it's a poor decision.
Sorry. Let me clarify. QPR are a big club, but it's nice to see him go to another one, a big stadium. Get them up. Yeah. It'd be great if he could get them promoted.
Well, he gets teams up there. He just can't do it when he.
I knew one of you were going to say that, but what I wanted to say in response to that was he's horrendous in the Premier League.
Yeah, brilliant.
So,
yeah.
It's a long term.
Exactly.
It's Ken Bates, isn't it? He's not going to stick around in the Premier League. This is why it's this weirdly specific time frame that he's at the club for until the end of next season.
And he's about 85, remember. He is really old.
And they've tried everything else to get Leeds back in the Premier League. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Is Dave Bassett didn't fancy it, so it's Neil Warnock.
I think maybe the most responsible thing Leeds could do is just sort of, you know, borrow loads and loads and loads of money and just chuck it at the team and maybe get up that way. What could go wrong?
Speaking of Dave Bassett, imagine going for the interview for the Leeds job and you're waiting in the waiting room and Dave Bassett comes out. Oh, how you doing? Oh, he's been interviewed as well.
In fact, I'm delighted to see you. That's the first person you want to see.
Now, talking of chucking money around, we go to the other end of the table we'll come on to that in a minute, because Nottingham Forest beat Coventry 2-0, a big win for them.
Coventry are terrible.
They are terrible. Forest have moved out of the relegation zone because Portsmouth, this is where the money talk comes in, lost to Barnsley 2-0, but more importantly have been deducted 10 points as they're back in administration.
That familiar warm feeling of administration.
It's like slipping on an old coat. I got a tweet over the weekend saying, Luke, did you hear that someone threw a pound on the pitch during the game at the weekend?
All right.
And police didn't know whether it was a protest or an assault or a takeover bid. That's a sort of thing I have to put up with.
We don't want coins chucked at football.
It's the indignity of it that's the worst thing. I know you're probably going to go on to mention that they were in administration when Mandrich took them over in '98.
December '98.
At that point, I can remember a vivid headline in the local newspaper saying players are being forced to wash their own jock straps. It's just the indignity
of the poor darlings.
But they have to take all their washing.
How do you recover from a blow like that?
I like it how they're forced. I don't want to wash it, you'll wash it.
Yeah, surely it's your decision whether you want it washed or not.
Yeah, Andronicu just wandering around going, just wash your jock straps.
This has got nothing to do with administration.
There's talk about the electric and gas being turned off and all sorts. And the most worrying thing was that Leon Lawrence needed a scan on his injury and they couldn't afford it. They couldn't pay the bill, so
that's bad.
It's bad, isn't it? Yeah,
he's going to lose a leg.
They're not being paid. The players, realistically,
we talked about Rangers last week. You know, it's such a shame to see them. Genuinely, it's all joking aside. You know,
well, hopefully we can. There's talk of a Portsmouth Trust being put together. Maybe they can get some sort of takeover bid together. I don't know. It's difficult.
Probably what they need to do is just borrow an absolute shed load of money, just chuck it at the team to try and get them out of it, and just probably be right.
Going to respond
short term.
I'm ignoring it. I mean, I'm not dignifying.
What could go wrong?
No, Jim, to a certain extent you are correct. What could go wrong more than that?
All it can do is the same will happen again later on. But at least it won't be happening now.
Blaze of glory could be.
As far as Portsmouth are concerned, writing off 100 million and writing off 200 million.
You might as well rack it up.
Look, we can't pay it. Whatever it is, we can't pay it.
What I like about the whole thing about the turning the electricity off and the gas and stuff is that when the people were protesting after the match, it was Barnsley, was it? They were up in Barnsley. Yeah. There was a man, like the old bedsheet brigade with the old bedsheet with the crap written on it, and he was wearing Bermuda shorts. Like, he said, we don't need electricity, we don't need heat. In Barnsley.
Oh, we won't turn it off then. Ah, got you. Right then, from the Championship to La Liga. It's the only thing we can do.
Third best league in the world.
Where Barcelona beat Valencia 5.
They did beat them, one. Didn't they? They battered them.
Lionel Messi proving once again that he's rather good, getting a haul. He'd become the youngest player in Barcelona's history to reach 200 league appearances for the club. Celebrating that with a haul as well. And what a delicious haul. The fourth great. One, a scooped lob.
It wasn't even the best lob in the match either.
Xavi scored a lob as well.
It was a Brian Ruiz, wasn't it?
It was a Brian Ruiz.
Xavi's beautiful.
His second goal, Messi's, the goalkeeper saved it right on the line. It's right in front of him. He almost got it in the roof of the net. With like an inch of space. Even that was impressive.
Did you see the one against Bayern Leverkusen in the Champions League when he cut in from the right and dinked it over the keeper and it hit the post? It's just glorious.
The thing about the goals that he scored again was just like the defenders turned round as if to go, well, the worst thing to happen is a loose ball. He's there. Of course he's there. He's always there.
Are there three of him on the pitch?
Do you know what? When I was preparing for this show today, I was trying to think of things to say about Messi that I hadn't said before. I just ended up thinking, I want him to be my dad, my brother, my best mate, my boyfriend. I want him to be all those things.
Yeah. That's it.
And that's the highest accolade I can give him.
To be your boyfriend.
He can't...
that's my rules, not him. Okay. It's not the highest thing. He could be
I mean, he's not far now off the all-time sort of top scorer sort of position at Barcelona. Incredible.
Let's talk about a player from who plays for Valencia, Ever Banega, the Argentina midfielder, who will be out for 6 months with a broken ankle. The injury happened in a petrol station where Ever's car rolled back onto his foot after he hadn't set the handbrake.
Standard.
It's Brian Harvey.
It is Brian Harvey.
It's like Brian Harvey jacket potatoes.
When Brian Harvey ate too many jacket potatoes, leaned out of his car door to be sick while he was driving, accidentally fell out and ran himself over.
He ran over his own hip.
Yeah, it's that he nearly died. And for me, that it's just funnier because of that. It's my favourite thing that has ever happened.
You bastard!
Someone once told me that their friend claims that happened in his driveway and he saw it happen. Could you imagine it?
Don't do that! Oh no!
What's he doing? Oh, how has he done that?
I'm going to have to explain this to the police. They're never going to believe this.
Yeah. I don't think I've done it.
How annoyed would you be if you were his manager?
Oh, you'd be furious.
One of their best players.
Yeah.
You mean Banega?
Do you remember when, what was his, Canizares, Valencia goalkeeper,
after show bottle
on his foot, missed the World Cup?
Mm. Yeah.
God, blimey. Yeah.
This is worse than that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a freak
is.
Accident that can happen. And this is just, you just make true. Sure that doesn't happen.
More people drop things on their feet than run themselves over.
Put that to bed, once and for all.
Oh, dear. Well, we've certainly learnt one thing today. But it was nice to see Valencia win on a cold Thursday night in Stoke in the Europa League.
That's been put to bed as well.
There
now.
We go.
So no one can say that anymore.
Yeah.
Shut up. Well done, Valencia. That's a win on the behalf of football.
Yeah, I think thank so. You, Valencia. Yeah.
Mm. Real Madrid beat Racing Santander 4-0. Madrid way out first place with 10 points.
It's your Mourinho said after the game.
10 points for Barcelona.
It's something along the lines of, we weren't really trying. we didn't really bother that much today.
4-0.
Well,
it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's outrageous. And Barcelona just draw too many games. I mean, Real Madrid are 10 points clear, but Barcelona haven't lost any more than Real Madrid.
What I love is the fact that Madrid is just absolutely roasting the league and the 10 points clear, but yet we're still going on about Messi and Barcelona, aren't we?
Yeah. But they're fading. They look like a real team now, whereas they look like a team of superheroes before.
You have said several times you think Real Madrid will win the Champions League this season.
No, I know, but you don't talk about them in the glowing terms that you do with
Maybe
Barcelona.
Maybe it's because they're more of a team.
The games work out that they could get each other in the final, I believe. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, I can imagine. They play each other loads. I can easily imagine.
Real Madrid do a lot of fouling and diving around on the floor, which Barca don't necessarily do quite so much.
Busquets.
Yeah, he's propping up that average.
He does it on behalf of the whole team. He's taking it upon himself. Don't worry, lads, take care of this for you.
The hit figure.
Yeah,
He's drawn everybody's fire. We have to mention the former Real Madrid, well, he is a Real Madrid legend, former player Raul, scored his 400th career goal on the weekend for Schalke. 400 goals for Schalke, that would be incredible.
What a pro, eh?
Yeah,
he's obviously not getting any younger, but what an absolute pro. Modern pro,
Very much so. Bilbao Bielsa's Bilbao, 3 goals in 3 minutes against Malaga.
The third one was an absolute beaut. From one notable egg past another in the goal. Great goal.
Bilbao, yeah, they're right up. They're challenging very much for the Champions League, as are about 10 teams in Spain. There's only something like 10 points or there or thereabouts from 4th to 18th.
Yeah,
you know, it's incredible. It's a similar gap to 1st to 2nd.
There's 2 points between 4th and 10th as well.
Yeah. Levante, we've talked about them a couple of times. They lost at home to Rayo Vallecano 5-3. They've dropped out of the top four after being there for so very long. But they haven't won a league game since the 10th of December. And they've only just dropped out of the top four.
No one wants it. No one wants
just
it.
Just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crank up the race for full spot.
They'll be annoyed because they'll be like, well, we're just one win.
It is absolutely breathtaking. In Serie A, Inter are struggling. They lost 3-0 at home to Bologna.
They're terrible.
They are. Just,
they're all over the place. Yeah. Just,
they had chances.
They had chances, but they didn't take them. And Bologna, I mean, they're looking over their shoulders at the relegation fight, whereas Inter are meant to be fighting for the Champions League.
Gilles was brilliant. He, like, Maicon, like, should have scored a header, and he was just everywhere. But, you know, as they say, Gilles is great in winter.
Yeah,
true. See what you've done there.
Di Vaio was good to see the old veteran turning the screw. It was brilliant.
That happens all the time in Italian football. Yeah.
Robert Acquafresca, is there a better name in football?
I don't think so. Damn it all.
Bobby Freshwater. I was going to say that at Inter they were cheering for Mourinho, shouting his name as well.
Apparently. They were.
And although a lot of people have said it was the Birmingham fans singing Mourinho at Chelsea, I was thinking that maybe some Chelsea fans were singing it as well. And if we got throw Porto into the mix, because they're probably not going to win, I don't think they're doing that well at the moment compared to what I've done before. Let's just give Mourinho's next job to whoever's fans shout the loudest.
I like that.
To everyone.
He must be loving it, Mourinho.
It's not even a love triangle. It's a love square, then.
But you say that, though, but Big Jose said the Inter fans and the Chelsea fans need to get behind their current managers. He said, "I am the past, a very good past, but I'm not there anymore."
That's unexpectedly magnanimous.
And they should all be fighting together. I don't know whether he means...
It's like Super Ted, "I won't be there when you cross that road. You've got to be careful." No?
I don't remember Super Ted.
I think what they should do...
sort of stuff usually gets edited out. So.
But not today. Milan beat Cesena 3-1 away. They're 1 point ahead of Juventus. Juve have a game in hand, but next weekend match against the old lady for Milan, it should be quite the spectacle.
They're not bad, that Milan team, are they?
Zlatan's banned for slapping someone.
Milan have all sorts of injury problems as well.
Zlatan's out because of that silly slap.
Yeah. That's the toughest game of the season. Right. He's on loan from Inter. No problem, you can have him.
Yeah, that's just normal though, isn't it?
He scored, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about the Zlatan app, of course. Zlatan's also been saying in the media that Robin van Persie should leave Arsenal in search of silverware, Jim.
Fuck off, Zlatan.
Right, you know. Let's go to Africa, where the football has been brilliant of late, and Zambia were given a hero's welcome as they returned home with the Africa Cup of Nations trophy. Thousands of people greeted them at the airport, and some were reported to have walked 15 miles to get there. And the people of Zambia took an impromptu day off work to celebrate.
And Herve Renard carried every single one of them home individually.
As he should do, as he should. Asamoah Gyan's quit international football indefinitely.
Missed too many penalties.
It seems he's just broken his spirit.
Well, he's very frustrated at the abuse he's received after Ghana's disappointing, I mean, semi-final, but still, I think they would have hoped
to be fair, he's practically quit club football as well.
He has. Well,
he's gone into money.
Well, he said something, didn't it, when he got back to the Middle East where he plays, and he said, "Oh, it's so good to get back here with the fans," and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking,
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
He has effectively, to all intents and purposes, given up football. Yeah. It's like Rivaldo, when he left Barcelona, he basically priced himself out of every single
club. He went to Milan.
Yeah, but eventually.
Yeah.
But initially he was going, probably want like 5.
Well, hang on, he's playing Angola at the minute.
Big time.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
O'Neill's making noises about trying to get Jan to come back, which would be great if he could get him back, because it's similar to Torres. He just seems to be a broken man. He's just sad.
New manager, fresh start. Sad. Have a go. Yeah.
He's still relatively young.
It was 26.
Yeah.
I could be sad on $1 million a month. Jesus H.
Yeah. You are quite sad now.
I'm chucking 60 quid away.
Elsewhere in Africa, quite a nice story coming out of Libya, as the country's trying to get back on its feet after the uprising. There'll be a couple of matches between Libyan clubs Al Nasser Benghazi and Al Ahly Tripoli against CSK Sofia. The Bulgarian side.
The European team, yeah.
Yeah, these matches will mark the first anniversary of the revolution. Sofia will become the first team, foreign team to play in Libya after the uprising against Gaddafi and co. last year, this time last year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's nice to hear. Now, let's go to Brazil before we go to Going for Gold. Now, due to the high volume of big stories that were coming out from these shores, we haven't been able to update you on the latest from Brazil and the World Cup preparations, so we shall now bring it to you. There's been yet more friction between the Brazilian government and FIFA, who are the football government, I suppose.
Over the... they are the world government.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. Yeah. They run stuff, yeah?
Yeah, we'll be coming on to one of their previous members in a bit, won't we? Sort of,
I believe,
back up that theory.
I believe so, Jim. after arguments over cut price tickets for students and OAPs and demands for sponsors to have trademarks protected and whatnot, FIFA are now wanting Brazil to lift their alcohol ban at football stadiums. Now, their FIFA General Secretary, Jerome Valca, who we know is a bit of a what's it, said alcoholic drinks are a part of the FIFA World Cup, so we're going to have them. Excuse me if I sound a bit arrogant, but that's something we won't negotiate. I don't know whether he means the arrogance or the drink ban, but
yeah, probably both. Yeah. I'd say.
Incidentally, Budweiser happened to sponsor FIFA. Hey, I don't know whether it's connected.
No.
Don't know whether it's
been
connected.
Any pressure there.
Yeah, exactly.
Also depressingly predictable.
In Brazil, I read a little fact today that Grêmio, Brazilian club side, yes, of course. Over the last certain number of years, quite a long time, they've averaged a new manager every 7.8 months.
I love the point eight.
Yeah, Abramovich is like, looking, like nodding his head, like stroking his chin, going, that's the model. That's the model.
It's the Atletico Madrid model.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe the future would be that Mourinho just manages everyone. Yeah, they want him back. Just everyone sacks their managers. So he just sends a weekly sort of email out to, to each team.
Opta need to work on like an AR version of Mourinho. Yeah. Sort of like,
well, passion for the game is passion for the game.
Yeah.
But the Brazilians, they can't be, the FA can't be trusted either, because this was a couple of weeks ago.
Ricardo Teixeira.
Well,
case in point.
Yeah, well, we'll leave him alone. This is not even involving him.
He's just having a good time. Leave him alone. He's enjoying himself.
Well, one of their employees, Jose Maria Marin, he was caught on camera doing this. He stole a medal during a presentation ceremony at the Copa São Paulo, which meant the Corinthians goalkeeper went without a medal.
Yoink.
He won sort of, the tournament.
Did he sort of like palm it or something?
I've seen it. He puts it in his pocket. I mean,
it's like a white.
Is it Peter Kenyon?
he had his round the neck.
Yeah.
Just having the cojones to do that in the first place. He must know he's going to get caught and just not care.
Yeah. A player who has won that tournament is gone without.
Did the Brazilian FA not make the medal? Just make an extra one. If you want one.
Exactly. You can't spend it anywhere.
I love the idea of it being like a really impromptu, like off the cuff thing. I'm having that.
Yeah.
He's not planned it.
Maybe he's a kleptomaniac. Maybe he can't help it. Yeah. Maybe we're being harsh on the man.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you suffer quite badly from that, don't you, Marcus?
Not anymore. Oh, is it? But I think we are to blame for this, though. Yeah. Forgive us, listeners.
Talk about Jack Warner.
Not yet.
Okay.
We've got to talk about Bebeto. We all know and love Bebeto, Romario's strike partner.
Is this the Warner stuff?
It is. He's joined the local organising committee, LOC, for the 2014 World Cup. He's the third and last member of said committee, and he'll be alongside Ricardo Teixeira.
Good.
Besides Teixeira, you have Ronaldo and Bebeto.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I don't know if Teixeira
cancels it out.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Nearly.
Yeah, and because Romario is also involved as well. Get them all in.
What makes them a pair of balls? The prick in the middle.
Like in your work, Luke.
It's
now,
a joke.
We go on to Jack Warner, former FIFA man and current still. The big shit.
Bit of background for people who don't know. Quit FIFA because he was getting investigated for bribery and knew he couldn't be if he quit.
And thought that was all an absolute disgrace. Yeah. And
I don't know how that works, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, it's just all right now.
Crime is crime. Not, yeah. Theft is theft, surely.
Yeah.
You'd think so, wouldn't you, Pete?
You'd think so.
You can't arrest me, I'll quit.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
Well, investigate, which would have led to.
Well, every time he's sort of accused of something, he's so dismissive, he's almost like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't recognise this.
Oh, you can't investigate.
No, it's the arrogance of not recognising it, of taking offence at the very idea that it might even be possible to consider that he could do something untoward.
That other people could judge him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
scumbag.
Yeah. Indeed, and this will back all of that up, ladies and gentlemen, because It was found that funds that were donated to Haiti, of course, suffered a terrible earthquake, absolute devastation in that country. The funds never made it to Haiti. They were paid into a bank account which was controlled by Jack Warner.
How much are we talking?
Nearly £500,000.
Come on.
Well, which in the Hall of Fame?
Grand embezzlement.
Yeah, absolutely. Embezzled. The Trinidad and Tobago Football Federation has claimed this.
I don't think we've got a tradition on this show of wishing pensioners dead as a rule.
No.
But if you think about it rationally. If you think about rationally, yeah. I know he's got a family and that sort of stuff, but would the world be a better place if he was dead?
Objection. Well, Haiti would be a better place if it had $500,000, wouldn't it? Go. Or pounds or whatever it there was. I mean, if he's found guilty of that, he's got to go to jail, like, for the rest of his life. You can't do that. That is one of the most sickening things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That is outrageous.
But then there's a clink at his jail cell. Who's that? Oh, Wyclef Jean. Oh, he's got knuckle dusters. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Okay, maybe wishing he's dead is a bit of a strong thing, but I wouldn't mind Wyclef Jean giving him a bunch of fives. What about that?
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
I want
compromise.
To give
two time.
One. Yeah.
It's fine.
Two times.
It's absolutely fine, and it takes us into Going for Gold.
Going for Gold. Gold. It's Going for Gold, people.
Here we go.
Make it an easy one, because I want a hat-trick. I've got a hat-trick of the points, and I want a hat-trick of the Going for Gold. A double hat-trick, imagine it.
I might show the people on the camera.
No,
they like to play along, don't they?
They like to play along, don't they? Whatever you do for that lot, it's never enough. Just remember that.
See what I've got to put with?
Oi, take your top off and they'll change the tune.
The first clue.
Come on, Freddie.
After a brief spell at Baldock Town, I signed for Watford for $10,000.
Stop. John Barnes.
No.
Stop.
Go on.
Luther Blissett.
Not Luther Blissett, no.
Tommy Mooney.
No. Not...
Well, you
not
can give Tom. It away now, because all the listeners have got it by now.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Listeners and viewers.
So that was $10,000. For $10,000, you can afford just over 200,000 kilograms of smokeless fuel from Big K Outdoor Living, just off Millmead Road on Tottenham Hill.
Not even being paid for that one, are we?
So I have 8 caps for my national team.
Stop. Elton John.
It was in here.
I was born in Hitchin.
It's in Hertfordshire, I think. It's in Bedfordshire. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Don't give it away.
I was included in the squad for Euro 2000, but played no games. No games.
Stop. Kevin Phillips.
Oh!
It's good in there. Well,
bring the cameras out, I'll perform.
I nearly scored against Malta, but I hit the side netting like a big goose. I have played 589 games in both League and Cup for 7 different clubs. I have scored in every season since 94-95, and I've scored 265 goals in my career so far. Nearly 1-2.
Did I mention Kevin Phillips months. A couple of weeks ago?
Maybe.
You can plant things in his head and he doesn't know.
But it's not good if you don't get it, is
well,
it?
Well, no, but I'm just...
He tried with Paolo Maldini.
Yeah, it's...
It hasn't happened.
It's not come up yet.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
I believe it's time for an email.
It is, isn't it?
Go on, Jimbo.
Let's do one of them. I've got one of those here. Right. Ramblers.
Hello.
I was listening to a few older rambles and listened to the one where Jim mentions that he saw in the Sun that Jonathan Woodgate glassed himself but couldn't find the article.
It's my favourite footballer story of all time.
Yeah.
Well, I found it.
Good boy.
Absolutely mental. From the Sun newspaper, soccer star Jonathan Woodgate was helped from a bar pouring blood from a head wound after glassing himself.
Didn't he then take himself out?
Woodgate, 24, was having a rowdy night out in Ibiza when he smashed the glass over his bonce.
Yeah. Just from the shop.
Is he just outside the cars?
And onlookers
before
said
he had some nookie.
or a romp. Yeah. One in a bed romp, I imagine. And the onlooker said it was amazing. One minute he was jumping around with his mates, next there was blood everywhere.
I love that quote. It starts, it was amazing.
Yeah. Another club goer said Woodgate and 3 or 4 male friends arrived around 7 p.m. on Sunday. They had had a lot to drink. They were play fighting and throwing drinks over each other. At one stage one dropped his trousers. Then with that warning,
Tom Hutchison, that bit.
Yeah, almost certainly. I mean, if he's dropped his trousers again, then that's out of order. But then, without warning, Woodgate broke a glass over his head. He walked out, helped by friends. He was holding a shirt over his forehead, trying to stop the blood gushing out. It looked like a bad injury. Bouncers checked him out, and he just wandered away.
Do you reckon, you know,
Woodgate did not go to hospital. Last night he told pals it was just a little scratch.
Yeah.
From as Craig
Monroe. Glass out of his, yeah. out of his skull.
One of the most gifted English defenders, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, who's that from, Jim?
Craig Monroe in Edinburgh. So
cheers, Craig.
Thank you very much, Craig.
He just wandered away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little scratch.
It's time for me to leave.
Mm-hmm. His debut for Real Madrid was genuinely worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It was an emotional and public glassing.
just less blood.
Hello, I'm Dean Windass, and this is my Hall of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And it's one of my favourite defenders of all time. It's Big Sol Campbell.
Oh, Solzy!
Come on!
Yay!
Yes. Perhaps the only Dean Windass Hall of Fame entry who's played for all of your teams.
He only played a few times for Newcastle, but he did play for them, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, player's a strong word.
did he never end in slide tackle when he was playing for them?
No, it was for England. Against Croatia, I think it was. In that
we don't have a running track at St. James's Park.
That's true.
He was born on the 18th of September 1974,
7 years after the Summer of Love.
Get in there,
maths.
Solid, yet always seemed cool, calm and collected. On the pitch,
he's one of the more thoughtful footballers we've featured. I think.
Yeah. Thank you.
Certainly in England, which is an anomaly.
Indeed, he grew up in quite a rough part of London.
From Stratford, didn't he?
Plaistow. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, which is very close.
East London.
His parents were very concerned that he would get caught up in petty crime and one thing or another, and he remembers them being very strict with him, and as a result he remembers spending a lot of time, you know, being very careful what he did. He said, "I became insular because at home there was no space to grow or to evolve." Everything.
No space to grow.
Didn't
they keep him like a little box?
Well,
did he not have like nine brothers?
Well, I was going to say, sorry, I should have said he has. I think 12 siblings.
He was the youngest as well, and I can't imagine Sol Campbell as being the youngest of any because he's so massive.
Yeah, but he is a very sort of quiet, thoughtful guy, and you can see how you might become quite introspective in that sort of.
It's like trying to imagine Bruce Forsyth young.
Yeah,
it's just never happened.
Or Michael Parkinson.
Yeah, never happened.
Mm. Right.
Or Charlie Adam.
That's a good one, Jim. He said everything, you know, is very, very small. People don't realise how that affects you as a kid. You want to be outside where you have space and you can express yourself. So my expression was football. He was a pupil at the FA School of Excellence at Lillieshaw. Remember that?
Yeah.
Which the FA sensibly closed in the late 90s.
Yeah. God. I mean, where would football be now if they'd kept that open?
We've made one Sol Campbell, that is enough.
A few other players that came from there: Jermaine Defoe, Mark Owen, Joe Cole, Jamie Carragher, Scott Parker, you know.
Alan Smith as well, the Leeds Alan Smith. Yeah. He did.
I think Andy Cuttle did as well. But, it produced some players that went on to play top level football in England.
The reason I presumed that Sol Campbell was from that area is because he started off as a striker for West Ham's youth team.
Yeah.
He did. Imagine him as a striker. That's even harder than imagining him young.
Yeah. Right, big, powerful guy though, and he had a hell of a turn of pace. So
he'd break forward, which Mark is going to come on to.
And
he's going to drag it out about 10 minutes in a bit.
Yeah. I tell you what though, imagine if he was playing up front. Just stick a cross in. He had a crashing header on it.
Yeah, crashing is right.
He really did. So as you say, he went to West Ham and started up front. And then he moved to Tottenham Hotspur, where he found his feet at centre-back, I think it's fair to say. He was a very popular figure at Spurs, very important player. Making his debut in 92. Went on to establish himself as one of Spurs' best players at the time and was a real rock at the heart of their defence. Whilst at Spurs, he won the first of his many England caps in May 96. That was just before Euro 96, where he was selected for the England squad. Came on against Scotland in the 2-0 win. Forget that, don't you?
Strange to think about.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people never think that David May actually scored in the game that Cantona fly kicked the Crystal Palace fan.
That's right, he did.
David May scored. How gutted would you if you were David May?
It was 1-0, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
It was 1-0.
Yeah, the result's irrelevant then.
I think so. Over the next few years, going on from 96, he'd become a regular in the England side and was given the captain's armband, becoming the second youngest player to captain England after Bobby Moore. Got some achievement
Not
there.
Not bad.
I think it's safe to say he was a powerful and dominating type of centre-back.
Oh, yeah. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he really was.
Certainly for Arsenal, in particular.
Which we'll come on to in a sec.
He just had everything. He was powerful, just he was solid. Quick, he knew when
to keen eye for a tackle.
Yeah, he was one of those sort of, when the chips were down, proper like brick wall style players where it's just nothing's going past him despite whatever sort of onslaught is coming forward. And, you know, for England, he was... But he pulled us out some holes.
But he was quite a calming influence, I thought. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's exactly how he was. How he managed to be so dominant, because you'd play at his pace, almost, it would seem.
Was he the only defender, and of course this would have been at Spurs, like Ian Wright said, I just couldn't wind him up. Because Ian Wright would be right in their ear. And
it makes sense.
So Campbell just blank.
And he
totally
was pacey as well. You saw him always break forward.
Oh, when Campbell... You know,
once he got going,
it was a bit like Bowser in Super Mario. He's gone. You know, once he's there, he was and still is massive. You know, in a good sense,
he had a large backside. Let's not forget.
I mean, we're going to have to probably induct that separately.
There's a lot of junk in that trunk.
Yeah,
he was and still is massive. Come in.
Yeah. It's what we've said before, it's where he keeps his sort of jet fuel, isn't it? In his massive arse.
But he was a real athlete as well.
Yeah.
Incredible figure. Figure of a man.
Well, I mean, picking on what you guys said about him being side eight, I mean, along with Sylvain Distan at Portsmouth, he was just so reliable.
Yeah.
Reliable is another word.
There was matches where it was just all hands to the pump, and it was always McGrath-esque, some of the headers he'd pull off,
but also,
out of nowhere.
Some of the, if people would break through, and he would chase him, that last ditch slide tackle, and it was clean. Yeah. Seldom would he give away a foul.
If he was chasing me, I'd shit a brick. He's massive.
Just take the ball.
Yeah.
Can you imagine it? He's chasing you, you're trying to wind him up, just bearing down on you, terrifying.
Or T-1000.
Yeah.
You kick him and just rebuild himself.
He was a starter for England at World Cup 98, of course, and I think the moment that most people remember that he was involved with was the disallowed goal against Argentina.
Tragic.
Which, to be fair, I think it was rightly disallowed, but it was such a shame because his celebration, genuine euphoric.
It was primal.
Yeah.
I know that it probably should have been disallowed, but my head just can't marry that up. It just seems so sad, so wrong.
I remember exactly where I was when it happened. I was in Churchill's pub in Hartlepool and somebody threw a glass at the telly.
Yeah,
when it was disallowed.
to try and get the referee.
Yeah, maybe it was one guess.
for the young viewers among our listeners, it was World Cup 98, second round.
And Argentina.
Campbell scored a header against Argentina, but it's disallowed. But not only
five minutes to go, and it was 2-2.
The referee let them take the free kick quickly, all the England players were celebrating by the corner flag.
Yeah.
It was, and
who got back to make a wonderful tackle?
It was Darren Anderton.
Good
lad.
It was a brilliant tackle.
It was brilliant. It was Campbell-esque. It really was.
We make them properly, Yannick Pompey. All right.
That's true. And then he had another disallowed goal later in his England career versus Portugal.
But what about the goal he scored in World Cup 2002?
In a minute.
Okay.
Respects the running order.
Sorry. Back at Spurs.
When are we going to do Soul Man, the DVD that he brought out about his life? Do you remember that?
Did he do that?
He made his own film about him and he just came off as a bit of an ego.
That's my DVD of the week.
Soul Man.
Back at Spurs, he captained the club to success in the League Cup, beating Leicester City in the final. But it was in 2001 that Spurs fans will remember his actions the most. When his contract at Spurs has come to an end, he was mulling offers from abroad or improved contract from Spurs, and he went to Arsenal on a free.
Yeah, I lost a bit of respect for him for that, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I think so, because...
You know what? I quite like that decision. I felt he'd made the right choice.
I like the idea of him mulling it over with, like, a glass of Hennessy just in his smoking jacket.
Why Hennessy?
on his chaise longue.
He's quite young, but old head on young shoulders. Yes, of course, he went to Arsenal, where he would experience great success. And his first season with Arsenal, I thought he struggled a bit at the start. And it was actually the game away to Spurs at White Hart Lane.
The furore around it was massive.
Judas, that's what they all called him, you know, which is an obvious one. But I've never seen it said and done so aggressively.
Didn't they call him quite a lot worse than that? Yes.
Well, I wasn't going to go down that route.
Enough,
some of those people can't come to football anymore.
Exactly,
And rightfully so. Yeah. He went to Arsenal in his first season, I think it was. They won the League and Cup.
Mm.
Him and Tony Adams at the back, Jimbo.
Martin Keogh.
Yeah.
How much would you give? you'd give your right bollock for that.
I'd have them now.
He's a free agent.
Yeah. He is. He's still...
Go on. Get him on that plane.
Get him on that tube.
To City Airport.
Get him on that Piccadilly line.
Now then, in 2002, he went to the World Cup with England and scored his only international goal against Sweden in the opening game. Crashing again.
Yeah. Do you remember the Barry Davis commentary?
Oh, remind me.
Clean header, bang.
Classic Davis.
Yeah. Classic Davis.
You see, that's why. Barry Davis commentating on England, Sol Campbell at the World Cup. Yesterday. That's all I can
from
say.
From the D-back corner.
From the D-back corner. Pete Donaldson. What more do you want from a profile?
Nice hat. What? sorry.
So, yeah, he was fantastic in that tournament.
I'll tell you who let him down.
Who?
Danny Mills at the other end. Was it Kenneth Anderson scored?
Kenneth Anderson.
Yeah, he scored the equaliser. Wow. Yeah.
Mills redeemed himself against Argentina.
Yeah, he played well.
England had a really solid defence.
Absolutely magnificent. Yeah.
England had a really solid defence that tournament, to be fair. And Campbell was voted into the World Cup 2002 All-Star team. And since 1990, they vote on a World Cup All-Star team. And he's only one of three Englishmen to have made that team. Do you know who the others are?
No.
Gazza in 1990?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
John Terry in 2006.
Wow.
Did have a good tournament, though.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
So only one of three. In 2003-2004, Campbell was a big part of Arsenal's Invincibles, going a whole Premier League season unbeaten.
But knocked out by the Cups.
Mm. Well, Invincibles was a term that was put on them by the press.
Absolutely.
It's like, to be fair to...
Get to the Champions League.
Colo Torre is his partner in defence.
Yeah, God. Yeah.
Have him back as well?
No. He was an absolute liability towards the end of his time at Arsenal.
Sorry, you've forgotten who's there now?
Oh, yeah, no. All's forgiven. Just come back and lay down on the edge of the box if you want. That'll do.
Just don't actively score own goals.
Yeah.
And then we'll build from there.
Yeah, I mean, because some of these guys, it's just like they've put a load of sausage meat on a remote control car and they're driving it around from the stands.
My dad.
Is that Giroud?
Yeah. Is that the sausage tray?
I can remember watching an Arsenal game with my dad, who's not massively into football. He does like it, and him saying, looking at Koscielny going, he's a boy. he's like a boy.
He's like a dinosaur cockerel boy.
Yeah, he does. Good description. Now, 2005-2006 season, a bit of a funny time. There was obviously the sort of bad news when he had a breakdown against West Ham when they...
left at half-time.
He did leave at half-time, but there was... I think Robert Pirès sort of said he's having a lot of personal problems, and many sort of wondered if he'd come back from such a setback, but he did, to some aplomb. He played in the semi-final and the final of the Champions League.
Yep.
Scored in the final.
Another great header in the final.
Clean header, bang!
It's gutting for me that Campbell never got his header in a final. You know, or header in a really, really big game that went on to actually really sort of mean something.
Well, Big Jens sort of that, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, they were down to 10 men when Campbell scored.
Big Jens sort of that, yes.
Big man Jens.
Oh, I see what you mean, sorry, yeah. And Arsenal lost, but, you know, they defended so well.
Well, they didn't concede a goal for ages. I think it's still a record.
But I'd never been more convinced.
No, I mean throughout the run of games.
Oh, sorry, yeah. But
I'd never been more convinced that Barcelona were going to win.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Last to change the game, as we said in his profile.
Yeah. But yeah, he was excellent. That was the last game of his Arsenal career. After that, he went to Germany for the World Cup in 2006. Only made one appearance as a sub, but that was enough to make him the first England player to have played in six successive tournaments.
Great stuff. Steve McClaren saw for that a couple of years later.
Yeah. And now we've made it. This is where he joined Portsmouth.
Yes. Yes.
Him and Linvoy at the back.
Initially.
For a bit.
And then this time.
Massive.
This
time. Just three beasts.
Yeah.
Just
and big David James in the stick as well. So solid.
Yeah.
Because James...
So to speak.
Oi.
Yeah.
What would you do for a bit of that now?
Oh, I'll have it all over. Yeah. The thing is, though, Sol Campbell will never come to Portsmouth again because we still owe him about £2 million.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so
I mean, image rights and all. Like, yeah. I mean,
1.7 million, like it was.
Is it? Yeah, in bonuses and stuff, yeah. Mm. Yeah. But I mean, Sol Campbell is the captain who lifted the FA Cup for Portsmouth for the first time in 70 years. You know, so he's got his legacy at Portsmouth is assured. Mm. You know, he's a legend there.
Mm, absolutely.
And rightly so, they still sing a song about him now. When Sol went up to lift the FA Cup, we were there.
Lovely.
Yeah.
We're regretting it now because it ruined us for years to come.
We won't be here.
He then went to Notts County under the stewardship of Sven Kotsch. I don't know if they chant his name there. He only played one game.
Yeah.
But what a game it was, I'd imagine. I think he probably...
You haven't bothered checking, have you?
He lasted one match.
Was he any good?
Yeah.
Okay. As I recall, he didn't have a lot to do, did he?
He didn't need to.
I just think he thought, I'm better than this. Yeah. Sod this for a game of soldiers.
Yeah. There was a lot of money sloshing around that team.
Yeah. But the money didn't actually exist, did it?
Yeah, no. It was the idea of money, wasn't it?
And then he went back playing for Arsenal again. And then
it's lovely to have him back. Yeah. It was so nice. He played quite a lot of games for injury and stuff as well. Come on.
I'd have had him on that plane for 2010. If Jamie Carragher could have gone, well, he did go.
Yeah.
And then he went to Newcastle, Pete. You got anything to say about
him? He goes out. I think he was going out with a girl up there.
So was he? Fine. That's why he went there.
I think that's why he went there.
It was convenient.
Yeah.
Would you have him there with Philippe Albert?
Well, it's one of those things where he did sort of spend a lot of time sort of chasing Lassers around. He had this big thing that he wanted to be ingratiated with high society. You know, he wanted to be at like exclusive parties and stuff, and he wanted to hang out with like property developers and a higher class of people that possibly he didn't grow up with to a certain extent. So he was definitely a climber.
Yeah. Did he go to Tino's bar? Tino Spreer's bar? Was it Spreer's bar?
What do you mean?
Or Liz Ferdinand's bar?
What, Shearer's bar?
Shearer's bar.
Stop saying players.
They've not all got bars.
Scott Sellers' bar.
It's a cellar.
Denver bar should have a bar.
He should do.
Denver bar.
The Scott Sellers.
Yeah.
Is it only Alan Shearer's got a bar?
Yeah.
They don't all get bars.
No, Tino like planned one, I think. On. I don't know
Tino
where
Tino planned one.
I don't know whether he's done it yet.
But he legged it from Darlington, so he can't come back.
Anyway, we've gone completely off the boil here. We should wrap up the Sol Campbell profile. Currently a free agent, but I think he's going to be doing his coaching badges.
So any clubs listening, do get in touch with him.
We'll have him at the Ramble.
We definitely would. But one of my favourite England players, without a doubt. And the heart of the defence of that incredible Arsenal team. A true Premiership great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sol Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com, Jimbo.
This week in Internet Town, there's Ed Mallion taking us through the night that Pele shook the Bombonera. James Appel, Gus Hiddink's move to Anchi Makaklaka. And Mikhail Zakodny on positive results for two of Poland's elite in the Europa League. There's plenty more besides that, including live fantasy football from Pick Live, the Hall of Fame, the Shop, and all kinds of fun on the forum. Go there now.
A big thank you to everybody who's watched on the webcam as well. Give them a wave, boys.
Hello.
Hey.
There we go.
Cheers,
thanks,
guys,
for tuning in.
Possibly girls.
And
not girls.
I think that's it, isn't it? Say goodbye, Jimbo.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me, Buttles. Right then.
Do you want to look at the Ramble Live hashtag?
Let's have a look at the Ramble Live hashtag.
Okay, that's what we're going to do, everybody. Stay right there.
Jay Reid says, is Pete Donaldson going to sign off the show with a rousing rendition of My Gang? Kevin Hoare says, this looks like the camera from the Chilean mine.
That's a beauty, that one. Yeah. Great song.
You don't want to be in Pete's gang.
Yeah, I'm a
avoid. Oh
I'm a leader.
Dear,
yeah,
dear,
I'm
oh dear.
A leader of a gang. Turn it off.
Done. Turn it off.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.